All right, good afternoon. Welcome to my podcast. My name is Alice Blackwood, and today I'll be talking about The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. So just a little bit of like background information. The book was actually published in 1850, which means that it was written probably, you know, a few years earlier than that, and then edited and then published. So as the result of that, there will be some differences within syntax, because obviously, you know, if the book is written in the 19th century and we're reading in the 21st century, words do change within their meanings and whatnot. And then also, it's just important to note that the book itself, the setting, it's set in the 17th century, which means that there will probably be even more syntax changes within interactions between characters, which overall I found to be like a little tricky at first, but as you get through the book, it actually turns out to like not be that bad, which is really great. So yeah, just setting the agenda to begin with. I'm just gonna give maybe like a quick summary of the book, and then I'll get into different themes that I felt were really, really prevalent, such as punishment for sin and how that differs for gender, justice and judgment for Arthur Dimmesdale, who's a character that will be introduced later on in the book, and then, of course, the classic sexism theme, and Hester Prynne, and just sort of how her presence within the book relates to higher power, and then also maybe differences in how the book would be written now if it were to be published, you know, in the 21st century. So we can just get up, or we can just head on into it, starting off with my summary of the book. So as I stated, the main character is named Hester Prynne. She has an affair with a man named Arthur Dimmesdale and falls pregnant in Boston in the 17th century, and then is consequently exiled by her community and forced to attach a red A to all of her clothing that she wears during her time within this community. And it's also important to know that throughout the text, the A takes on different meanings, so that it isn't just sort of like this one singular thing, which I think is really interesting. And then, you know, after all of this, or while she's being tried, Hester's husband, her missing husband, Roger Chillingsworth, disguises himself as an old man and returns back to Boston. And is then like watching her being tried, realizes what she's being tried for, and then decides actually to visit her while she's in jail, or while she's being held in contempt with her baby daughter Pearl. And he reveals himself to her, but then decides that what he wants to do is he wants to have her be sworn to secrecy about him returning back to Boston. And he wants to just sort of live within the town and blend in with the townspeople and just see sort of how his stepdaughter's life plays out and how Hester's life plays out. So he does this. And then, you know, obviously he's going through life within town, but then this man named Arthur Dimmesdale falls ill, and Chillingsworth decides to take care of him. And no one really knows why Dimmesdale is ailing, but then one night he's super ill, and Chillingsworth, you know, is doing his job and taking care of him, and upon undressing him, he realizes that he has this A, the letter A is seared into his flesh on his chest, and it's big, and you know, obviously it's like causing him some sort of pain that no one else can see. And for him, you know, the A being seared into his chest marks his sin, but then also his connection to Hester Prynne, which leads Chillingsworth to the understanding that that both Arthur Dimmesdale and Hester Prynne, you know, had the affair, and that Arthur Dimmesdale is Pearl's father, who Hester wouldn't really reveal the name of Dimmesdale during trial, because she didn't want for him to have to experience what she was experiencing. So this is, of course, like a massive discovery for Chillingsworth, and, you know, after some reflection, he decides that what he's going to do is he's going to continue to take care of Dimmesdale, and he's really going to just sort of oversee his entire life, and he wants to add to that torment that Dimmesdale is going through in private by, you know, sort of pushing it, or, yeah, like, worming his way into his subconscious and really making him consider the effect that he's had both on Hester and on Pearl, and then also on Chillingsworth himself, which is really interesting. And then, you know, as we sort of see, like, throughout the book, we see Pearl growing older. Pearl is Hester Prynne's daughter. We see her growing older and, you know, just sort of begging for Dimmesdale's attention once she finds out that Dimmesdale is her father. And, you know, we sort of see, like, he acknowledges her in private, but then refuses to acknowledge her in public, which is obviously, you know, like, a terrible move. But, yeah, you know, they do have, like, some moments in private where they're together and they get along super well. But then in public, if he ever sees her, he basically ignores her. And, you know, we just sort of see this play out throughout the book up until sort of the end of the book. And then at one point, Chillingsworth actually plans to reveal his identity to Dimmesdale. So Hester plans for her, Pearl, and Dimmesdale to leave Boston and go to Europe, where they can hopefully live together as a family. And then, but then she then finds out that Chillingsworth has also booked a passage on the same ship that they're supposed to take to Europe. And, you know, obviously this is, like, not very good for her because she's trying to get away from this man and he keeps following her everywhere. But then the night before they're supposed to leave, Dimmesdale, who is a preacher, a pastor, gives this wonderful, fantastic sermon and then confesses to being Pearl's father and to having this affair with Hester Prynne. And then after he confesses, he's basically relinquished of his existence from this mortal coil. He dies. He just drops dead. And of course, Chillingsworth is furious because what this means is that he doesn't get to have the satisfaction of exposing Dimmesdale, Hester, and Pearl for the true meaning of the situation. So he's absolutely furious about this, but then he dies a few months later, so, you know, they don't really have the opportunity to have that confronting moment. And then, but before he dies, obviously, you know, the ship leaves the day after Dimmesdale dies, so Pearl and Hester actually just disappear. You know, they go to Europe, they live that life for a few years, and then, you know, we see towards the end of the book, we see after Chillingsworth has died, we see Hester comes back to Boston and Pearl is married to an aristocrat in Europe. So, you know, she's taken on, like, this very rich sort of history and, like, culture, which is really great. But yeah, that's basically the overall plot of the book. I thought it was really, really fascinating, and I thought that something was really, that was really interesting were sort of, like, the themes that came up within the text, because, you know, of course, at first we see, obviously, you know, there's, like, sexism, but there's so many layers towards sexism within the book. And something that I really wanted to discuss was punishment for sin and how this plays out within the book between the two genders. So just sort of starting off, you know, the way that Hester is punished is so public. And, you know, she's just really, like, laid into by her community. Like, everyone just really goes after her for what happened, even though she is only half responsible if she consented for the incident. So, you know, that's definitely something that we see is, like, she's the one who takes the blame for something that's the fault of two people, if that makes sense. And, yeah, you know, we see, like, her published and exiled within her community, and, you know, she has to wear that mark on her chest, but one of the things about the Scarlet Letter itself is that the A isn't permanent, which I think is really meaningful. But then, on the other hand, for Arthur Dimmesdale, who we know is a guy, we see that it's seared into his flesh, and even though it's not something that he deals with publicly, it's something that impacts his health, and, you know, his health consistently deteriorates throughout the entire book, and, you know, he's really harmed because of this, you know, like, but it's not, his suffering isn't public, which in a way makes it better for himself, because obviously, you know, he's not going through this in public, so he has ways of hiding this and making himself look good towards the, or in the eyes of the community, whereas Hester doesn't really have this luxury. So I think that that's something that's super important to note. And then, you know, it also sort of leads me to my second concept, which is justice and judgment for Arthur Dimmesdale. You know, this guy isn't being judged by outside forces in the way that Hester is being judged. And it does sort of beg the question of, if Hester had revealed who Arthur Dimmesdale was, would he be punished in the same way that she was by this panel of men who basically attacked her and sort of attacked, like, her morality and, like, connection to the community? Would this guy be really put on trial the way that she was put on trial for what happened, or would they have made up excuses for what happened and still found some sort of way to blame it all on Hester. And I think that that's something that's super important to note, is that, like, there will be discrepancies between the way that both of the characters are treated and tried back then, and then also back, like, looking at, like, the 21st century and, like, our sort of systems of justice even, like, now. And I think that that's something that makes this story so timeless, is that the forms of judgment and justice for men are, they're just always released. There's sort of, like, that, like, policy of, you know, like, we, like, of belief and, like, sort of, like, innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, even when proven guilty, sort of, like, having more, like, lenient, you know, sentences. And I think that that's something that we definitely see with Arthur Dimmesdale, again, even in the way that he's punished. Obviously, you know, he's ailing and he deals with this grief and this pain and this suffering, but he deals with it in private. And then the moment that it becomes public and he has to deal with what Hester has had to deal with, he just dies. He drops dead and he doesn't have to deal with the consequences. And I think that that's really, really important, because obviously, you know, in this situation, his punishment may be death, but he's not punished by it. He doesn't live long enough to be punished by anyone on earth. And I think that that's super interesting. And then also just Hester's treatment of him. Like, she's not mad at him for not coming out and, like, acknowledging what happened. She just sort of lets it happen and, like, you know, like, really just, like, is sworn to secrecy. Like, doesn't tell anyone that, like, he was the person that she had the affair with. Like, it's not something that really, like, is brought to light ever. But, like, she's not mad at him because of this. And I think that that's so interesting, is that, like, she just sort of keeps it to herself. And that makes me wonder, like, what stopped her from bringing this to light, and what stopped her from just, yeah, bringing light to the incident overall. And then obviously, you know, we have the classic theme of sexism. I've talked about that a lot, but even, like, the panel of all men who are set to judge Hester in this, like, high court of law, that's something that we see even in the 21st century. So again, drawing those parallels, like, that's something that's happened, especially, you know, like, with, like, confirmation of Supreme Court justices such as Kavanaugh. You know, we had, like, those, like, really intense hearings. We see that again with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. Like, that's something that doesn't change throughout time. And I think that that's something that, like, I, within the text, like, I was like, wow, like, this is something that I can really see happening within the 21st century. This isn't something that, you know, like, is just unique to the 17th century. This is something that has lasted for centuries and centuries, and it's something that will most likely last even past that, no matter how hard women protest, which is terrible. But yeah, no, definitely also something that I wanted to examine was Hester Prynne and the higher power as well. I think that that's really important, is just sort of the way that God and, like, sort of not necessarily extraterrestrial forces, but higher forces are presented, is that Hester she sort of has, like, a conviction within her fate. Like, she's very much okay with the way that everything is happening, if that makes sense. And something that I thought was really interesting is that it's almost like she knows what's going to happen, and she knows that everything is going to be okay. And, you know, she's definitely, like, the only thing that she's really unnerved by is seeing her husband in the crowd when she's being publicly shamed. Like, that's sort of the only thing that, like, sets her off. But, like, we see sort of her, like, taking advantage of every single situation that comes. And it sort of makes me wonder, like, how the higher power plays into this, and, like, how sort of God, like, you know, takes a role within Hester's life. And I think something that's really interesting to examine is that even though, like, Hester does sort of have, like, that higher power, and, you know, we have, like, the meteor in the sky with the Scarlet A, it's definitely interesting to look at the fact that, like, Hester, she almost acts as a higher power for the other characters within the book, and that she determines all of their fates. This isn't something that, like, you know, like, they're not, even though they're all sort of viewing God, like, she does sort of, like, influence and, like, twist their lives in a way that I think is really, really interesting. And then definitely, like, something else, you know, just sort of, like, the role that men play within the book. Even though Dimmesdale and Chillingsworth are main characters, they are secondary characters in comparison to Pearl and Hester. But at the same time, you know, there is sort of a lot of literature that's really focused on them. And that, like, you know, that in itself, like, when I was reading the book, like, for me, the most interesting parts of the book were the parts that focused like a lot on, you know, on like the guys and their stories. Like for me, one of my favorite parts of the book was, you know, sort of just talk, like listening to Dimmesdale and Chillingworth's relationship just sort of come into place. And, you know, like that discovery of the Scarlet A seared into his flesh. Like that is such an important part of the book. But it's also such a part of the book that is quintessential to Hester's character that isn't acknowledged. And that's, like, terrible. That's so sad. And, you know, that's, like, definitely something that I think should be just examined even more, is that, like, there are so many moments that could revolve around Hester that are really just pushed onto the men within the book. And I think that that in itself is just even more, like, blatant sexism, and just sort of, like, you know, definitely focusing on that, like, if this book, which was written in the 19th century, if it had been written in the 21st century, would there be any changes to the perspectives given by certain characters within certain moments? Like, would Hester have more of a role within this, you know, this guiding moment where Chillingworth finds out what Dimmesdale did? Like, would that be more of a Hester moment, and would we see that from her perspective, or would we maybe have, like, more information about her based on this? And I think that that's definitely also something to consider. And then also something else that I thought was really interesting is just sort of how inherently creepy Roger Chillingworth is. And that's something that, like, I didn't really realize, like, the first, until, like, you know, like, I'm, like, looking back at all of the parts of the book that I made note of, and I was like, oh my god, this guy is so odd. Like, he's so weird. And just sort of the way that he, like, swears Hester to secrecy about him being back, like, I didn't see any sort of, like, there was nothing about that was beneficial. Nothing, like, would have changed the situation. If people knew that he was back, then, like, what? Dimmesdale still would have suffered, but, like, maybe it would have isolated himself even further from society and become even more sick with worry. But there would have been no outwards effect. Like, it's just this guy who comes into this community with the intent to just play with people, and it's just, like, it's so gross and just weird and unnecessary. And obviously, you know, Hester's already suffering enough, but now she has to deal with this guy who's coming in and meddling with her life, and he clearly doesn't really care about her if he has the ability to do this. And obviously he's furious, and he has every right to be, like, if this woman has an affair with this guy, that's, you know, that's terrible, and she shouldn't have done that. But just the level that he takes it to, in my opinion, was, like, too much. Like, there's just a lot happening there that really doesn't need to be in place. And I think that, like, there's something just so unsettling about his character and the way that he decides to exact justice, and that it's just disgusting. So that's definitely something that I'd like, you know, to examine. And I think that also I would have liked to see a lot less of him within the book. And while I do think that he is, like, a great character, I think, again, you know, sort of having more passages about Hester would have been really, really interesting, and definitely about Pearl as well, because, you know, we do see her grow up, but, like, I would like to see her, you know, definitely, like, grow up even more. And yeah, you know, just going back again, like, going back to the Roger Chillingworth being really creepy, I think that, like, something that his presence forced Hester to do was to be less feminine and to sort of let go of that, like, young feminine freedom that she had before she became pregnant. And I think that his presence, obviously, even though, like, you know, she's marked with the A and sort of, like, isolated from society, I think that his presence sort of, like, takes something out of her in a way, and it's something that she, like, can't really get back. And I think that that's just, like, that for me was, like, really sad. Like, you know, there's the part when they're getting ready to leave and Hester feels free to take down her hair for, you know, the first time in years, and Pearl doesn't recognize her when her hair is down and she's, like, living freely. And I think that that's so poignant, is, like, just sort of the idea that that her femininity was so trapped by Chillingworth's influence, and it's not necessarily the societal influence, it's really just Chillingworth. And I think that that's just so upsetting, is to see the effect that this one angry old man has had on this woman who could have really moved past this. And, like, obviously, you know, she still has Pearl and she's still, like, you know, Dimmesdale's still a part of her life. But, like, she really could have been able to move past this and let her hair down more often than she did if, I think, if Chillingworth wasn't there meddling in her life and being creepy. And even his decision to, like, follow her to Europe, like, that's just, it's so odd and malicious. And I'm only wondering, like, you know, sort of, why would you put yourself through that level of suffering? Like, what about suffering like that is ever appealing to anyone? But yeah, you know, just those are sort of some of my thoughts on the text. I definitely, like, really, really enjoyed the book, but like I said, you know, I do sort of have, like, weird opinions about syntax. But yeah, you know, I just wanted to give my thoughts, and yeah, thank you for listening. Bye.